This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Radio South Tyneside, your caring community radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Nikolai Ivanovich Bukharin was a Russian communist leader, a full member of the Politburo and editor of the Soviet newspaper Pravda, who in his younger days took part in the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. But there's one particular story about him when he took a journey from Moscow to Kiev in 1930 to address a huge assembly on the subject of atheism. Speaking to the vast crowd, he hurled insult after insult against Christianity with all the expertise he could muster. An hour later, when he was finished, he looked out at what seemed to be the smouldering ashes of the people's faith and was satisfied. "Are there any questions?" Bukharin demanded. Deafening silence filled the auditorium. But then one elderly man began his slow but steady pace towards the lectern. Standing shoulder to shoulder with the communist leader, he then surveyed the crowd first to the left and then to the right. Finally, mustering all the strength he had inside him, he shouted out the ancient greeting so well known in the Russian Orthodox Church. "Alleluia! Christ is risen!" And en masse, the crowd stood to their feet and the response came crashing like the sound of thunder. "He is risen indeed. Alleluia." Here was the cry of victory over adversity, triumph over oppression. Today is Easter Sunday, the most important day in the Christian year, the day of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Today is breakthrough day. So here is Stuart Townend singing "See What a Morning." few weeks ago, I told the story of a chess champion who had carefully studied a painting in the Louvre Museum called Checkmate, a painting by Moritz Dretsch. It showed a chess game between the devil and a young man. The chess champion noted excitedly that the devil was not in fact winning, as there was a way out of that checkmate, for the king still had one move left, and if he made the right move, the devil would lose the game. In the chaos, brutality, agony and torment of Good Friday, where Jesus died, there was also a way out. It was not the end. Here too was another victory cry. It is accomplished. Life had ultimately triumphed over death. Good had overcome evil, and resurrection power broke through on that third day. For Jesus was seen alive by his followers and in many places in those coming weeks. St. Luke chapter 24 begins at verse 1 here. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, the women came to the tomb. Taking the spices that they had prepared, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Here's one of my favourite Easter songs by a group called Rise and Run, and it's called Up From the Grave.
Oh, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Saviour, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? And oh, church, come stand in the light. Our God is not dead, he's alive, he's alive. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Death cannot keep its grave, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, In strength you reign, O forever let your church proclaim. In strength you reign, forever let your church
Now, sceptics will say, what about the fact that the gospel accounts of the resurrection aren't exactly the same? Well, of course there are differences in the resurrection witness accounts, but surely this only adds to their authenticity. Rather this than four identical stories which all sound manufactured. The central core of agreement in the gospels which tells of the resurrection are these. Firstly, Joseph of Arimathea obtained permission to take the body of Jesus, and he had it placed in a new tomb. Also that one or more women followers of Jesus visited the tomb early on the Sunday morning following his crucifixion, and his body was not in the tomb. Thirdly, that these women saw a vision of either one or two angels who told them that Jesus had risen. And some gospel writers give different times of the women's initial visits, such as at dawn, or while it was still dark, or very early. But it can be argued that this is what daybreak is like. So yes, this witness record does vary. But isn't this what we would expect even today in witness accounts? But if we look at these accounts, we will find the essential truth in them all, that on resurrection morning, Jesus' tomb was empty and he was later seen alive again. Here's a different version of Now the Green Blade Riseth, sung by Cecilia Bryant and Amelia Rayford. The fact that women were recorded as the first witnesses of the resurrection and as the first of the disciples to spread the good news speaks volumes, because women then were considered unreliable witnesses. Here in Scripture, these women's testimonies were not removed just to make it acceptable reading. Then, of course, there's Peter, Jesus' right-hand man, who boldly speaks out about the risen Jesus just a few weeks later in broad daylight. This was the very disciple who had denied even knowing Jesus and who'd hidden with the others behind locked doors after the crucifixion. He stood in front of the crowd and said confidently, "God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah." Now this doesn't sound like a frightened man anymore, does it? And St. Paul, years later, having rubbed shoulders with witnesses of the resurrection appearance, said this in his first letter to the church at Corinth. "He was buried and was raised on the third day according to Scripture, and he appeared to Cephas," that's Peter, "then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep." So this was no hallucination. And he went on to say, "Then he appeared to James, then to all of the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." The disciples quickly became powerful, highly motivated witnesses, telling everyone about their risen Lord. Apart from John, they all suffered for their faith and died as martyrs, rather than deny what was absolutely true in their experience. They all knew that their Redeemer lived.
I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. He lives. He lives who once was dead. He lives, my ever-living head. He lives to bless me with his love. He lives to plead for me above. He soul to feed. He is to bless in time of need. He lives to grant me rich supply. He lives to guide me with his eye.
That lovely song there was "I Know That My Redeemer Lives," sung there by Linda Roberry. All the authorities had to do to prove the disciple wrong was to produce the body, and they couldn't. If the disciples had taken the body, then they would not have been willing to die later on for a lie. If thieves had taken the body, they also would have taken the expensive spices in the tomb, and they didn't. If, as some suggest, Jesus did not actually die but revived, then how could he have made appearances to his followers in full and splendid resurrection glory, fit and well? He'd lost such a lot of blood after being lashed 40 times, never mind being crucified and pierced by a spear. And the tomb had been checked, sealed and guarded by Roman soldiers at the request of the Jewish leaders, and the body had lain there, completely unattended. Shall we listen to the Brookwood Praise Choir singing, "Christ the Lord is Risen Today"?
Christ the Lord is risen today. Amen.
So what did the resurrected Jesus look like? We're told in the Bible that Jesus could be touched. He ate food. He made breakfast. Therefore, Jesus was no ghost or a delusion. Secondly, he had a physical body which bore the marks of crucifixion, and the spear wound could be clearly seen in his side. He was recognized by his friends, but he was changed in a new and unique way. And mysteriously, he could appear in a room when doors had been locked. But I suppose if he could work miracles in his lifetime, how much more could he do so now? After his death, the risen Jesus appeared to his disciples from time to time, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was alive. So what does all this mean for us today? It means we don't need to be afraid of death anymore. Jesus really is the resurrection and the life. We don't need to be afraid of this world with all its terrors, because Jesus really is the way, the truth, and the life. And we don't need to fear the darkness, because Jesus is the light of the world. And those who follow him will never walk in darkness. He is our Saviour, our Lord and King, and he will be with us always to the end of time, just as he promised. To him be glory and praise. Thank you for listening to our programme today. I hope that in your prayers you might ask the risen Jesus to make himself known personally to you, and that if you know him already, you will pray to be renewed, and that you'll be greatly encouraged this day. This is Sheila Hamill, along with my technician, Andrew Ridgwick, saying goodbye and a blessed Easter to you all.
Bye for now, everyone.
We leave you with a well-known Easter hymn of praise, probably the most famous, Thine Be the Glory, from St. Mary's Portsea. Bye for now.